So we're in year B of the church's liturgical year, which means that on Sundays we hear from the Gospel of Mark. During Lent of year B, the first readings will recount for us the various covenants or solemn agreements that God entered into over the centuries with his people. Today we hear of the covenant he made with Noah, never again to destroy the world by flood. And the sign of this covenant is the rainbow, a beautiful sign of God's promise to us, to all of us. In the Gospels, Jesus is driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan. This is because Jesus is the new Adam, again confronting Satan, this time not in a beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden, but in the desert, which is what the garden has become because of our sin. The covenant with Noah and all subsequent covenants were all broken by humanity because the wound from that garden was never healed. So here in the desert, Jesus heals the wound as the new Adam who conquers the devil, and who then goes on to establish a covenant that lasts forever. What's the sign of this new and eternal covenant? It's the sign of the cross. As we continue through our journey through the Mass, through the different parts of the Mass, and trying to come to a deeper understanding of that, today we talk about the sign of this eternal covenant, which is the sign of the cross. This is how we begin every Mass, with the sign of the cross, the sign of our faith. And everything that we do up to the sign of the cross is kind of like our stretching exercises. We gather. We renew our baptism at the holy water fonts, at least when there's water in the holy water fonts. We transition from the sidewalk to the sanctuary, both physically and mentally. And the ministers and I symbolize that transition through with the entrance procession. And when we have servers who would carry candles, those candles are carried as a sign of the real presence of Christ in the minister, the priest. You also may notice that after I genuflect to the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle, I approach the altar and I greet the altar with a kiss. The altar is the symbol of Christ our God, where the holy sacrifice will take place, and where the bread and the wine will be changed into the body and the blood of Christ. And so out of reverence and respect to the altar, to the place of that sacrifice, I greet the altar with a kiss. At the end of Mass, I give farewell to the altar with a kiss as well. So we transition, we prepare, we recognize Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, in one another, in the priest, in the altar. And all of this is gearing us up, gearing up our faith, so that when we begin the Mass proper with the sign of our covenant, the sign of the cross. Making the sign of the cross is an act of faith, not an act of superstition. Sometimes when I'm afraid, I make the sign of the cross, not because I believe in magic, but because the sign of the cross is an act of faith. By his cross, Christ has conquered the power of sin and death, and he's healed the wounds of our sins. Remembering that assures me that Christ is greater than anything this world can throw at us. It reminds me to trust in God, and not in the powers of this world. I don't know if vampire movies are still a thing or not. They were a big thing there for a while. But vampire movies will sometimes use the cross as defense against vampires, right? But it's really our faith in the cross that overcomes evil. The cross is a sign of our faith, our trust, our confidence in God overall. Now notice that when we make the sign of the cross, we're doing two things usually. We're tracing the cross on our person, and we're naming the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. First, let's talk about tracing the cross. Jesus said very clearly in the gospel that unless we take up our cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciples. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul wrote, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." At the beginning of every Mass, we proclaim ourselves disciples. We embrace the cross. Really, in some ways, it's not so much that we trace the cross on ourselves as much as we try to make our whole body, our whole life, cruciform. In one sense, making the sign of the cross is a prayer that I may live with and for Christ. It's the same reason why we wear a cross around our neck, right? We proclaim ourselves disciples of the crucified, praying that the cross may impact, may guide our lives more and more. The second thing that we do is we name the Blessed Trinity while we trace the cross. Now, why do you suppose that we do that? Is it just randomness? The reason is because the cross is the fullest revelation of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, why? To die on the cross. And then, from the cross, with his dying breath, the Son breathes forth the Holy Spirit upon the church. Christ on the cross is the greatest expression of God's own love, God's own heart, God's own sacrificial giving. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Christ calls us his friends. And he laid down his life for us on the cross. And every time we trace the cross on our persons, we spontaneously evoke the God who is love, Father, Son, and Spirit. And don't ever forget that as we name the Blessed Trinity, we bow our heads in reverence and respect. Now, some Christians will add other layers of meaning when they make that sign of the cross. Usually, for example, someone of Hispanic origin will make the sign of the cross and then make a cross with their thumb and forefinger and kiss it, right? If you've ever seen them do that, as a sign of reverence for the cross. Eastern Christians, for example, those from Greece or Egypt or Russia or Eastern Europe, they will hold their fingers in a certain way when they make the sign of the cross. For example, they'll hold the first three fingers together as a sign of the Trinity, three persons and one God. And with the remaining two fingers, as a sign of the two natures of Christ, human and divine. So in that way, making the sign of the cross becomes a miniature profession of faith. In every Mass, anywhere in the world, the Church is offering Christ's sacrifice on the cross back to the Father. Father, you showed us your great love when Christ died on the cross and handed over the Spirit to us. At this Mass, and in the communion of his Spirit, we imitate your great love by offering Christ back to you and by including ourselves in that offering. In the Mass, we're learning to love as God loves. And so what better way to begin than with the sign of the cross, naming God as the loving Father, as the Son willing to die for us, as the Spirit who enables us to love like God. In every Mass, we begin with the sign of our discipleship, of our striving to embrace and live the cross. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.